Hello, everyone.
Wow.
It's great to be here. And it's just a real gift to have people come up and say, well, gee, I remember when you were here. And I was so excited this morning. I texted my husband and said, it's almost time, you know. Been awake since 5 a.m. I'm ready. And I am. I feel like this is a time in my life where I get this opportunity to come and share with Unity congregations wherever I'm at. And I'll be traveling up to Hollyhock, which is on Cortez Island in British Columbia. I leave this Wednesday, and there will be several people flying in from Michigan, where I live. And we will be meeting with a man who's the retired director of Upland Hills School, where I taught for 12 years while in Michigan. And his name is Phil Moore. How about that? For those of you that are Unity, Unitics, you know, we know that name, Phil Moore, but this is Philip Moore. And we are gathering together to really explore with people from all over, rewiring the future of children. Okay, so we live in a time and in a context where obviously we want to really look at what we're doing on this planet and how we are holding our systems, our patterns, for how we work together and how we live on the planet and how we interact with each other. There's so much that I can say that I do when I do my little inventory about be here now. It's really great practice. Those three words came to us from Ram Dass. And often when I travel, I remember to use those three words. Be here now, be here now. He was also known for saying that if you really want to know how spiritually enlightened you are, you go visit your family. So. So I come out here every summer and I see my mom and I get my little test, you know, like, okay, how are we doing, Kathy? How's it going here? How conscious are you? This is really good. She's a great teacher. And so there we go. I'm here for just a short bit. I'm off to Cortez Island growing and learning as you are and we are. And of course, this weekend, we have a lot going on this weekend, but we have a lot on the planet, period. We had our earthquake. I woke up to that, felt like the whole house was tilting. I'm staying at an Airbnb, and I know the owner of that, Danielle, was here a little bit ago, and I think she's still here. There she is. There you go. Want you to know her. She's a minister in this area, and she's teaching soul power, hypnotherapy, psych K, doing a lot of really great work. How'd the universe figure that out? Because I had a reservation, I canceled it, and I just pulled my hair and thought, why did I do that? That cost money. But I repositioned things and ended up at Danielle's beautiful home, and it felt like the whole place tilted, didn't it? It's like, wow, what's going on? Oh yeah, earthquake country. I'm a Northwest baby. I was born in Seattle, was raised in Alaska, and northern Alaska, actually up by the Arctic Circle. And as we all know, they've had record temperatures this last week. It's scary. It's not as fun as it sounds. People are really feeling it up there. And we're really feeling it on the planet. But this coming July 20th, I wanted to bring that up because it's in the news already. And we are going to be honoring the fact that 50 years ago, Apollo 11 brought our astronauts to the moon 50 years ago on July 20th. How about that? Probably many of us in this room were on the planet already, and we might even remember where we were at when that happened. It's one of those moments in humanity where often people say, I can remember where I was at. So actually, an astronaut by the name of Lovell, though, in the news right now, is talking about Apollo 8. Because when Apollo 8 happened, it was the first time that the human species, in his view, left the womb of Mother Earth and flew out into deep space. Yeah. And he calls that the cosmic birth. So that when they were out there in deep space and they saw Earth rise, you know, we talk about sunrise, they saw Earth rise. That is imprinted in our minds now, you know? So there's something about going from the paradigm of flat Earth, right, to a paradigm of a spherical Earth, and then going into a paradigm of a cosmic traveler, you know? It's like, how conscious are we? How much do we rebel and fight when our paradigm is changing. You know, those people that really believe the earth was flat. I can prove it to you. Just look from here to there. We're convinced of our own paradigm, right? We're just so convinced. It's so true for us. My husband is thinking this. I'm not a mind reader, but I often think I am, you know, so we're convinced. So we have so much to just really consider today as we come together, you know, and I'm going to be exploring with us consciousness. What do we mean by that? What are we saying to ourselves when we use that word consciousness? It's pretty big in New Thought. So if you're new here today and you are dabbling into a New Thought ministry, and these New Thought ministries have been around for, you know, 130, 40, 50 years. We've been around a while, and Unity is at this wonderful, unique space. It was that for me when I first walked in at age 20, Unity Church of Portland, all those years ago with my husband's grandmother. And it is a space and a place where I felt like nobody was telling me how to think. Nobody was telling me how to believe. And that we have held this space that we have direct relationship with that which we call God. And you don't have to use that word God. Throw it out if it's too loaded and it's got too much baggage with it. That's what free with the freedom of spirit really means. Be in the now relationship, right? Be in the now relationship. And so we're going to explore consciousness together this morning and ask ourselves why that's so important. And there is a writer, Emmett Fox. Some of you know the writings of Emmett Fox. He's a 20th century minister, author, really philosopher. And he wrote a passage called Life is Consciousness. How many of you have read that? Very few of you. Get online. You can find anything in YouTube nowadays, and you can find it. And I would suggest that you go to it because he's also known for writing The Golden Key. And if you're in a 12-step program, you've heard of that. You know, so Life is Consciousness is a writing that came out from Emmett Fox. And it's something that I think that really speaks to us always. It doesn't seem to lose its potency, okay? And I feel like life is consciousness. You know, life and what we're in right now is so much about what we want to be conscious about. This is the Sunday when the big sweeps are happening, right? We are a species that is working out our moral intelligence. We are at the evolving edge, always, of our moral intelligence. What we are doing with the planet, with the water, the earth, and the air, this is really about our spiritual intelligence. And knowing that this is our spiritual work as much as prayer, as much as meditation. We were talking about this morning, Kevin and I. Love is about spiritual intelligence and evoking love. It is the golden rule. So the way that we interact with the earth is our work. Years ago in this region, when I was living and raising children and starting a farm and starting a church, you know, when you're 30, you do all these things at the same time. I don't know. How conscious are we? I don't know. But anyway, we did it. And I went to the regional conference for Unity Churches, and I said, could we start earth care work? And this was the first region. This is the first region to say yes. So I'm holding that up for us, okay? It's our spiritual work. Life is consciousness. Life is consciousness. The word consciousness means to be aware and awake to what is. How aware and awake are we? Yeah? How aware and awake are we? I'm so glad. Stay with me a little bit longer, okay? Because I'm doing what I can to stay awake. And it is it takes a village to stay awake. It is not a solo work. It is that prayer work is very individualized, and what we encounter in meditation and our spiritual practice, very individualized. But working out of it is very much takes a whole village. Right? So when I think about staying awake, I sometimes ask myself, okay, so what are we doing here together right now in spiritual community? So we maybe came in with our own stuff, like we're working on it, right? We got that doctor's diagnosis. We got the bank notice. We got the unexpected bill. We got the husband that doesn't understand us. You know, I got one of those. So I can speak for myself. You know, he does and he doesn't. But anyway, we got our children and they're doing their own thing. And, you know, we got so much that we come in here with. And what's that t-shirt say again? Don't get your, I'll just add to it. Don't get your life in a tangle. But it says something different. Don't get your what? Don't get your tinsel in a tangle. Okay. I'm thinking Christmas trees for some reason. Tinsel. Okay, but that's kind of it. Because, you know, consciousness gets entangled in its own effects. So Emmett Fox is really saying that life is consciousness is the key for us. And I want to read his words to you because they're powerful, number one. Number two, we ought to ask ourselves what they actually mean. So life is a state of consciousness. This is the explanation for all your problems, all your difficulties, all your triumphs. Life is a state of consciousness. You have and you are and you do according to your state of consciousness. Okay? And what I want to represent today is as much as for 130 years in unity and more in our New Thought Ministries all across this globe. We just voted in Africa. We accepted Africa as one of our regions at the big people convention of Unity Worldwide Ministries just this last June. Yeah, there you go. So as much as our emphasis has been work those spiritual principles, know that the kingdom of heaven is right here at hand. These are the words of Jesus. It's here. Live it. You don't have to die to go somewhere. Just be here now, right? Be here now. We can go to hell in a moment, go to hell in a flash. We don't have to go anywhere for that either. Those are concepts. They're concepts. And we're living them now. Now. And consciousness can become entangled in its own effects. I've been in unity most of my life. I walked through the doors of a unity ministry at age 20. And that was powerful for me because I'd come from the Arctic region where I had an immersion in the natural world and had experiences that were very cosmic that nobody was talking about, so why talk about them, right? But they were meaningful and life-changing for me. And when I walked into unity, I knew I was okay. I knew I was home. And I knew that I could discover and I could learn and I would grow. And I was able and am able to do that and overcome a childhood plagued with alcoholism and all the insanity of that and so much more. You know, the Kool-Aid version of parenting is come to its end, folks. Okay, then, so we got to rewire and keep discovering the new evolutionary edge of what it means to be parents. So when you come this afternoon at 1 o'clock and we continue to extend these conversations of this exploration, it's not really designed for people that just have little children. It's designed for all of us that are working with children. Adult children, little tiny children, children in the neighborhood. Because the emphasis this afternoon is about what does it mean to be conscious? How many of us know that this earth is spinning 1,000 miles an hour? Can you feel it? When I work with children, I'll tell them that. And I'll say, let's lay down. We lay on the earth. Can you feel it? They'll say, yes. They can. Because they're in lantern consciousness. They have not been conditioned out of their imagination, out of their sensitivity to be able to feel so much more of what's going on. You see, we in our own way have been conditioned in so many ways, and we're working on our consciousness. Imagine that this cup represents our consciousness, and we seemingly are pouring into it awareness. beliefs, ideas, experiences. We call this our consciousness. And this is what we say in Unity. We're working on it. We're working on it. We're opening up all those belief systems that were conditioned into us so that we can move from a two-dimensional consciousness of a flat earth into a three-dimensional consciousness. And we would say moving into a four-dimensional consciousness. We're working in this consciousness because this is a mindset. It's like a radio, right? It's tuned in to kind of certain things. You know, I'm traveling so much right now, so I've got my phone GPS, you know, I got it on all the time. And we've been learning in Unity and on the planet that we can set our course, can't we? We can plug in our destination. You got to start here, though. Be here now. Got to start here. That satellite's got to find us. And then we can set our course. We can go multiple routes, right? Which route do you want to go on? Oh, I don't know. This one's the fastest. Let's go this way. Let's go the speed course to enlightenment. Do you see what I'm saying? This is the mentality that we've been living in. I'm going to use my treasure map, and I'm going to come up with that life. I'm going to cut out all those pictures. I'm getting there fast. I'm doing this thing. Now, this is all good, and I do this. I've done this. But I just want to hold up a different understanding today of what we're about, okay? We got to do this work in consciousness. We got to do this mindset. We got to do just like what I do with my phone, recenter, 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 recenter. We got to lift up all those spiritual practices all day long and all night long because there's earthquakes in the middle of the night. So, yeah. We got to have that mantra that holds that mind, because that mind is like a vehicle that's got its own course. You know, it's like, I think I'm going to see my mom and I'm all over the map, you know, but I'm here to see my mom, but my mind's all over the map. But I really want to be here with my mom. I love my mom, all over the map, right? Yeah. So we have to work these practices. We got to work in this consciousness. But what I'd like to hold up for us today is there's something far greater going on here. And so when we are able to conceptualize that we are in consciousness, if Emmett Fox and I could have a little conversation, I would say, Emmett Fox, in the 21st century, can I change the title of your writing? Consciousness is life. Consciousness is life. I can be living in this vehicle, in this body, but not having much of a life. Consciousness is life. I really feel like that's why Jesus, the great master teacher, was saying to us over and over again, seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added. Don't get overly focused on that job. Jobs arrive, and I can speak for that. Last year, I knew it was for me to let go of that full-time teaching job, and I didn't have another job lined up. But I have made a practice for a lot of years now, seek first, the kingdom of that which we call God. Seek first the kingdom of God and that righteousness, that right useness, and all else is added. It's not magical thinking. It's an ongoing practice. And guess what? Out of that ongoing practice, jobs show up. And they did. Money showed up. An inheritance from a person I'd only met twice in my life showed up. People showed up. Mentors showed up. You're here now. We're here together. But I wasn't Googling for this. You see? because I can't make this happen. I of myself can do nothing, said the master teacher. I of myself can do nothing. Yeah. I am choosing. I am willing. Isn't that the power of will? To be here and to be a conduit. To get ourselves out of the way. Because when we let go through our spiritual practices of focusing on our own consciousness, it can feel, as the Buddhists say, it can feel like groundlessness. It can feel like nothing and emptiness. It can feel like what we learn about in those 12-step meetings, powerlessness. But therein, in the great consciousness, in the kingdom of heaven, whatever you want to call it, lies the power. The power that is first cause, the power it is working in us and through us and as us and bringing about a greater reality than I was thinking about. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, right? So I want us to explore again what we mean by consciousness, and then we're going to meditate. There's going to be a clock, yep, right there. Because we want to practice being open to the great vastness that is a paradigm beyond our current conception. But in that openness, that is where, if you can just see this up here, there's no boundary anymore. It's non-dual. And that immersion experience is what wakes up, accelerates in us what is already present. The ability then to see what's already been on the path that we could not see before because we were convinced it was flat. We were convinced it didn't work. We were convinced it was DNA programming. We were convinced that $5 could only buy $5. You see? And this acceleration of our mind set in this great immersion of consciousness that we call God allows for that watchfulness to be more present and for us to see what we could not before see, to hear that which we could not hear before. You see? You hear? With me in this. This is what we're asking ourselves to do right now. But if we are too filled up with thinking that we know we've got the answers and we're going to figure this out, which is my, I'm preaching to the choir here. So maybe I'm not talking about you, but this is the mindset. This is where ego hides in me. Adi Ashanti says that we have our very favorite places that the ego hides. Mine is figure it out. Be responsible, right? But when I'm in that mindset, I might as well be in a contracted, tiny little dark room. There's not a lot to be seen in it. It's like moving the furniture around. I think I'm doing something different, and I'm just moving the furniture around. I'm building a new consciousness, but it's a house of cards, and I'm building it out in the wind and earthquakes too. You see, so the surrendering of what we think is so true is so essential for us. So I want to share this little joke. Because I've been traveling, I've been on airplanes. This is a story about a minister and a farmer that got seats side by side. And it's a four-hour flight. And you know, four-hour flights, you kind of hope for a little bit of a conversation. It makes the whole thing go faster. So, you know, the ministers are kind of known for talking, right? And farmers, having owned and operated a CSA farm in Oregon, I know a little bit about farming. So farmers are not necessarily known for being real talkative. They're really close to the earth, and they're very watchful human beings. I love being around them. I feel more grounded, you know. So they're chatting, and of course they chat about the weather, and oh yeah, it's so hot in Alaska now, and yeah, we got flooding over here, and oh, aren't we so glad that Louisiana is still on the map? Aren't we so grateful? Aren't we so grateful? And they're talking about what's in the news and children and how we absolutely love our children. And they are our children. All those children that are in those camps, wherever those camps are. They're our children. So they're having a deep conversation, you know. It's going farther and it's going deeper. And the minister, you know, so like, gosh, you know, there's just so much for us. It's like, I just wish we had a better sense of the meaning of our lives. What's your sense, farmer? Well, now the farmer becomes quiet for a while because farmers are like that. They become quiet. Pretty easy for them. And then the farmer says to the minister, well, do you know the difference between chicken poop and goat poop and cow poop? This was not the comment the minister was expecting. And the minister becomes quiet, which is sometimes unusual for ministers. And eventually the minister says, well, no, I don't know the difference between chicken poop and goat poop and cow poop. And the farmer says, well, you're asking me about the meaning in life and how it all works, and you don't know crap. Yeah. So I hope you'll take all that. We in Unity, we love to be practical, so I want you to know that we got to face into a lot of crap here on the planet. We do. And I didn't think I was going to offer this joke, but as I was leaving Danielle's house today, the raven came along and crapped right on my car. It was probably a crow, but what do I know? So I said, well, okay then. So maybe we could remember that when we come to our evolutionary edge and we're facing into crap because we are not in denial. We are not going to choose to be in denial about this. We are going to be woke up whether we like it or not. C-R-A-P, crap. Consciousness reveals all problems, especially when we're focused on our own consciousness because that's where it's happening. Right there, we got to do the work. But the same thing, the same acronym, consciousness reveals all possibilities. So let's just go forward into our meditation next and know that if you came in here with a lot of crap, it's okay. We're in this together. Yeah. So if we could have just a little music here and we'll just do that thing called centering in. Recenter, 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 recenter. Maybe the mind is already going in another direction. But we want to be awake and we want to be attentive. We are now in the presence of pure being. And we are immersed in the whole spirit of life and of love and of wisdom. We acknowledge thy presence and thy power, O beloved oneness. And we dedicate this practice to someone other than ourself. We get out of the way and we let this be about more than just the I, the me, the little self. We presence wholeness. We presence the children today all across this planet. Those little radiant lanterns of light beaming in every direction. The born and the unborn, those children that have moved on to another dimension of life. We presence the children, our children. We presence the water, the earth, the air, all of creation, all living things. The great beauty and the great power brings us to our knees and evokes awe. We presence spaceship Earth, our earthly home, Pachamamita, Mama, Mitakuyasan, all our relations. We presence those that are hungry, hungry, hungry for food and hungry for a friend, hungry for love. We presence those that are imprisoned in mind and body or spirit. O beloved oneness, in thy divine wisdom, in our divine wisdom, now erase mortal conditioning. Now bring into manifestation the willingness to let go of what was. That which we knew to be so true. And in the divine silence, may we be open and receptive to that which wants to be created through us. In this willingness to be conscious, we pray that we may go forward from here, willing to be the gift of love, the gift of strength in storms, the gift of faith where there is doubt. We pray that we may reach to our children, reach to each other. So we dedicate and devote this practice, though, in the name and through the power of the living Christ. Thy will be done. And so it is. Amen. And in the language of Jesus, the word is Amen, which means we plant this vision in the earth that it may grow.